All right, let's dive into high finance today. We're going deep on the latest SEC 13F filing from Soros Fund Management LLC.
Yeah, you know these quarterly reports, it's like a sneak peek at what the big guys like George Soros are holding.
Almost like seeing how a chess grandmaster thinks, right? This filing, it's for the quarter ending June 30th, 2024, filed August 14th. And wow, it's huge.
Huge is right.
177 different holdings, valued, to get this, over $5.5 billion.
Before we get into the weeds with all the stocks, though, gotta understand the scale. We're talking two entities, Soros Fund Management LLC, and then a separate account managed by Soros himself.
So not just one giant fund,
yeah,
more like layers for a crazy amount of wealth. That says something about how Soros invests, don't you think?
For sure.
Likes complexity, maybe wants that control.
Totally. And that complex style shows in all the different things he's holding, not just one industry, one sector. Soros is everywhere. Classic move when you're experienced, want to diversify and, you know, not put all your eggs in one basket.
So where do we even start with a portfolio this big? I'm a little overwhelmed, and our listeners probably are too.
Let's hit the top holdings first. The big names, the ones that make up most of the value, right at the top. AerCap Holdings NV, they're all about aircraft leasing. Soros put over $145 million in that one.
Aircraft leasing, huh? Interesting. Sounds like he thinks travel's going to keep recovering, maybe even boom in the next few years.
Could be. Then there's Accenture PLC Ireland, global consulting giant, over $60 million invested there. That one's more, well, traditional. Safe bet on a company that's already doing super well.
Yeah, so balancing out those riskier ones like AerCap with the blue chip, steady ones.
Yeah.
Classic diversification.
Exactly. And then Akamai Technologies. They're big in content delivery, cybersecurity. Soros has a lot there, over $68 million in their corporate notes, another $2 million in common stock. Chase's interest in tech, which we'll definitely dig into more.
Oh, yeah, can't wait. But let's not jump ahead. Any other holdings standing out to you at this stage?
Well, one that's got me curious is Global X Uranium ETF. Over $2 million there means he's bullish on uranium, right?
Now, that is a head-scratcher.
Yep.
Uranium. Isn't that mainly for nuclear power? Why invest in something, well, kind of controversial?
Right. But think about it. The world's desperate for clean energy. Nuclear zero emission, even though there's risk. Looks like Soros thinks it's going to make a comeback, be important in the fight against climate change.
So not just about making money, but being in a sector that'll shape the future. That's thinking ahead.
Definitely. And it shows that these 13F filings aren't just numbers. You got to see the thinking, the vision behind the investments.
Okay, so we've got aircraft leasing, consulting giants, cybersecurity, and now uranium. This is just the start, right? What other surprises does Soros have for us?
Let's just say a lot more to uncover, especially when we look at semiconductor plays. Soros is all over that sector. It tells you a lot about how he sees technology evolving.
Okay, now I'm really hooked. Semiconductor chips are in everything nowadays. Can't wait to hear what Soros is doing there. But for now, we'll have to leave our listeners hanging. Back again, and man, I'm still thinking about that uranium play.
Yeah, it shows you got to think outside the box, right? Even the big investors are looking for the next big thing.
Absolutely. But you were going to tell us about these semiconductor investments, right? And everyone knows those are super important these days.
Oh yeah, Soros isn't just dipping his toes in the chip pool. He's cannonballing right in. We're talking big positions in companies like Taiwan Semiconductor. They're the biggest chip foundry in the world. Then you've got Micron Technology. They're huge in memory and storage.
Okay. So he likes those specific companies.
Yeah.
But I see he's also got a stake in the VanEck Semiconductor ETF.
Yeah.
That's more like betting on the whole industry, right?
Exactly. He's got a strategy here, not just picking winners, but putting his money on the entire sector.
Makes sense. But why? What's he seeing that we're not?
Think about it. Everything runs on chips these days. Phones, cars, the internet itself. Demand's only going up. Soros probably sees that continuing.
True. But what about the chip shortages we've been hearing about? You think that's part of it?
Definitely. Those shortages showed everyone just how important these chips are and how fragile the supply chain is. Soros might be playing the long game here, knowing demand's high. And maybe those shortages ease up as production ramps up.
So he's not just thinking about the tech. He's also thinking economics, geopolitics, the whole picture. It's that big picture thinking that makes him so successful.
Exactly. It's not just about the numbers. It's about understanding the whole game. But hey, remember how we talked about diversification? Well, Soros has taken that even further. He's using things like put options.
Yeah, the put options?
Mm-hmm.
Those can be a little confusing. Can you break it down for our listeners who might not be Wall Street experts?
Sure. Thanks. Basically, a put option lets you sell something at a certain price by a certain date, like insurance protects you if the price goes down.
So it's about managing risk. But why would someone like Soros need to do that? He's already made it big.
Because markets can be unpredictable. No one knows the future, right? Things happen. Put options are like a safety net, limiting how much you can lose if things go south.
It's like saying, I believe in this investment, but I'm also being smart about it. Good strategy.
And the interesting part is where he's putting those options. He's got them on single stocks like Apple, PDD Holdings, but also on ETFs like iShares, 20-year Treasury bond, even the VanEck Semiconductor ETF.
Hold on, a put option on the semiconductor ETF? Didn't you just say he's bullish on that sector?
Right, it seems counterintuitive, but it might be a way to balance his overall risk. If chip stocks take a hit, those put options could soften the blow for his other semiconductor investments.
It's like he's playing chess and we're all stuck playing checkers.
Mm.
It's that level of strategy that makes his portfolio so interesting.
Mm.
But hey, remember that word contrarian? Well, get ready, because some of Soros' holdings are going to make you rethink everything. Now you've really got me curious. What kind of contrarian bets are we talking about here?
Let's just say there's one investment that made me go, huh, what does Soros see that we don't?
All right, spill the beans. What's this mysterious investment that's got you so intrigued?
Get ready for this one. Soros has a big chunk of money in PG&E Corporation. You know, the California utility company, the one with all the wildfire problems.
PG&E. That sounds risky even for Soros. What's he thinking? Does he see something we don't?
That's the big question, right? It's definitely a gamble. But Soros has always made these bold moves, the ones nobody expects. He might think PG&E is actually fixing things, you know, the wildfires, their infrastructure. Maybe he thinks they can win back investors and the public.
So it's like, if they turn things around, their stock goes way up, Soros wins big, but if they fail, it's a big loss.
Exactly. That's why these filings are so cool. We see what risks a guy like Soros is willing to take. It reminds you that investing isn't about following the crowd. It's about thinking for yourself, doing your research, and sometimes just trusting your gut.
So PG&E is a good example of that contrarian thinking.
Hmm.
But you mentioned his investments in emerging markets earlier. What's going on there?
Well, he's got a lot in the iShares MSCI Emerging Markets China ETF. That one tracks Chinese companies listed in Hong Kong. Basically, Soros isn't scared of the whole China situation, you know, the politics, the economy.
That's a bold move. A lot of people are worried about China right now. What do you think he's seeing?
I think he's playing the long game. He knows China's a huge part of the global economy. Even with all the problems, he might be betting on the Chinese middle class, their technology, how they could change things in the future.
So he's not listening to the news. He's looking at the fundamentals, the things that really matter. He sees an opportunity and he's going for it.
Yep. And that's a good lesson for all of us. It's easy to get caught up in the hype, but gotta look deeper, see what's really going on.
Okay, so we've talked about his top holdings, how he hedges, his contrarian bets, and emerging markets.
Yeah.
But what does it all mean? What's this filing telling us about Soros's view of the world economy?
Well, he's holding a lot of gold. And gold usually does well when things are uncertain, you know, inflation, politics. It's like a safe bet when you're worried about the future.
Right, gold is like the classic safety net. But it's not all bad news, right? He's got to be optimistic about something.
Of course. He's invested in companies like Builders First Source. They supply building materials. And then there's Carrier Global Corporation. They do HVAC and refrigeration. These industries usually do well when the economy's strong. So it seems like Soros is kind of optimistic. Maybe things are looking up.
It's always about balance, right? Protect yourself from the bad stuff, but also be ready for the good times.
Exactly. That's what makes these filings so interesting. It's like a peek inside the mind of one of the best investors out there.
We've learned so much today. Aircraft leasing, uranium, semiconductors, gold, China, PG&E. It's been an amazing journey through how Soros invests.
And the best part is anyone can see these filings. They're public. It's like a free lesson from the experts.
So here's something to think about. What can you learn from all this? How can you use these insights in your own financial life? Go check out the full filing, see what you discover.
Investing is all about learning. And sometimes the best teachers are the ones who've already made it big.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep learning, keep asking questions, and keep investing in your own knowledge.